You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 205 for August 24th, 2016.
We're back, and the Olympics are now done.
Yeah, that was quick.
That was quick. 2 weeks, or what is it, officially 17 days, I guess?
Something like that.
Has come and gone. So we'll today be putting the final nail in that discussion, I guess, finishing up kind of the last running events that caught our eye or interest from the Olympics. We'll be running through some other new stuff and then just kind of catching up with us. Not too much going on, but that's the plan for today.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess let's jump right into it. I normally turn it over to you, but I think I'm going to start off here really quick because we actually did a race this past weekend.
Surprise!
Actually, it is a surprise because, number one, we didn't mention it. Mm-hmm. And number two, we haven't done many races this year.
We haven't.
By our standards.
Yep.
So the race we did was actually a local, I guess the best way to describe it is a corporate 5K.
Mm-hmm.
So it's company-based, kind of for company employees and friends and family and all that stuff. So the advantage of that is that it was super cheap. I think $10, right?
Yeah.
A person, mm-hmm. which you can't complain about that with a shirt and a medal. So we did go out and do that. We did the race last year. I don't know if we talked about it last year, or I think we might have briefly mentioned it. Neither one of us can remember that, really.
Yep. I can't remember it at all.
Obviously, just a little local kind of style 5K. We didn't have any huge expectations or plans or anything like that. But it was a fun day. Nice weather. A little bit warm. But race went off without a hitch. It was a nice shirt. Nice medal. Like I said, you can't complain for the price. In comparing times to the previous year, same course, interestingly enough, I found out after I got home and checked results that I beat my time from last year by a whopping 4 seconds. So basically, I'm apparently in the exact same shape I was last year at this time.
No, you're slightly faster. 4 seconds faster.
I think 4 seconds gets, that's like within the margin of error. So that would equivalent be basically the exact same time as last year is what I'm going to call it.
But that's like taking one extra step at the water station instead of.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I actually threw my cup in the garbage can instead of tossing it on the ground.
Yeah.
That was 4 seconds right there. So, yeah, I basically did the same. You actually had a really great 5K.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
because, yeah, I beat my time from last year by almost 2 minutes. So okay. I was pretty psyched about that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then what you did on top of that, which was kind of cool and kind of fun, was you actually were the overall female winner of the race.
Yeah.
So congrats to you.
That was, thank you. That was
crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. So it was really cool, though.
Yeah. Anything you want to say about that?
Totally unexpected, you know, because I'm not what I would consider like in my fastest shape, you know. I've run 5Ks faster, but in a way, it was nice that I beat my time from last year by a good margin. And then I feel like I'm kind of coming back, getting some of my speed back. And then, of course, like did not expect to win it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, it was funny because the way the course was laid out is kind of a little, almost, let's call it a double loop for, not really, it's kind of two.
It's like a small loop and then a big loop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Much better
job describing. But some of the small loop and big loop shares a little bit of the same mm-hmm. path. There we go.
Yeah. So when I got to about half a mile, it's actually right before kind of the turn. And so I could actually see the leaders of the race.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, guy or whatever. And I was like, oh, there's the first female. And then I started counting back. And then you were in fourth at the time. And I looked at you and in my head, I'm thinking, what the hell? Drop the hammer. Because, I mean, you didn't look like you were running that hard. And I'm like, you're sitting in fourth. And I kind of did that thing where I was looking at the women in front of you. And I was like, and I kind of picked one because she seemed younger. I don't know. I was picking on a random person. I was like, okay, she's going to blow up. I'm like, she's not going to be able to finish hard. So I'm like, that's for sure top three. And I'm like, come on, pick it up. Let's go. So congrats. Yeah.
Thanks.
That was super cool.
Thanks. Yeah, I got an age group medal because I was first in my age group, obviously.
Right, obviously.
So yeah, so that was pretty cool. And then actually got a free pair of Brooks shoes.
Which is the best part of the whole thing.
Yeah. Yep. That was pretty awesome.
So especially for you, the person who wears only Brooks, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those are pretty much all my road shoes. So, and I actually picked a pair different than what I normally run in. You know, just
it was not a GTS.
Yeah, just it's a Brooks launch. So
now, in the interest of disclosure, we should I should have you explain why you did not get a Brooks.
So
adrenaline GTS.
They did not have any Brooks adrenaline at the store that I was getting my free shoes at. They did not. They were out of Brooks Adrenaline GTS in my size.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, you know, we're going to get more in stock, obviously. Like, it's not like we're never going to get any more. So I could either come back, you know, we can give you a call when we have some back and we can save you a pair, or you can try something else. I'm like, well, let me just try them on. Mm-hmm. You know, I figured this is kind of a good time to try other Brooks shoes on. So tried a couple of different ones, road and trail. And the launch actually felt pretty good. You know, they felt different, obviously, than the Adrenaline GTS. And I'm like, well, this is kind of a good excuse or kind of a good reason to just try a different type of shoe, you know, in the Brooks lineup. So yeah, we'll see how those work out.
Yeah. And originally, I actually encouraged you to get a GTS just because that's the shoe you already know. And
yeah, like, that was my plan.
I was thinking, what's the return policy when you win free shoes from a running store?
There is no return. I would think there was no return policy unless like they're defective or something. But
I don't know. I'd assume they would take it back. But I don't know that you had any. Did you get a receipt or anything?
I did.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, then I guess you probably could have returned. But originally, before we went into the store, I was like, well, I'll just get something, you know, that way, you know, if it's something
like, I know
you
they
can't
work
return.
For me.
We got the launch. The specific ones that you got were kind of the. Was it the Olympic version?
Yeah, I don't know that they're officially called that, but yeah, they basically look like.
Definitely probably could not.
Oh, yeah, no, they could not be called that. That's right, yeah. So maybe they're the patriotic version.
Probably something like that.
But yeah, they have, you know, red, white, blue. I don't know actually if they have white. It might be like silver or something. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, very like.
Very
US flag-ish or USA. So I'm like, yeah, you know, spirit of the Olympics, why not? You know? So I keep branching out more and more on. Like the colors and design of my shoes. I used to stick to like super plain, you know, like very little color. And now I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, that's fine.
Well, we've talked about before, if it's impossible to avoid lots of color and more craziness in shoes.
Right.
Although, interestingly enough, about 15 minutes ago when I was on runningwarehouse.com looking at shoes, I realized that Kayano 23s for men are actually pretty basic looking. They actually have one that reminds me of one of the Kayanos from 6 years ago, probably. It's just very basic white, a lot of white with a little bit of blue and black and pretty simple. And I was almost kind of shocked to see such a basic looking shoe in 2016. So anything else from the race that we should mention? Obviously not doing a race recap or anything like that.
Right, right. I don't think so. I mean, it's a really well-run race. It's, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely well worth your money.
It's the type of event that, we might have mentioned this last year, that I'd like to see more of, like these corporate type of, you know, be well type events to like encourage everybody. There was definitely lots of people doing their first 5K. There was lots of families, lots of kids out there doing it. So it's kind of nice seeing people getting out there and new to the sport and getting more people into running, hopefully. Of course, you have an event like that, and I think you also set records for the number of people that wore the race shirt during the race.
Oh yeah, there were so few of us that did that not wear.
We almost looked like oddballs. What?
Yeah, like are you sure you're here? Like, are you supposed to be here? Did you register for the race?
No, it's more like, did you get your shirt? Because it's right over there. You right. Won't pick it up, and yeah, you're supposed to put it on and wear it for this race right now. So,
yeah, that's too funny. That's true. I know you would the race shirt. I don't know if you mentioned it. The color is yellow, so it's, you know, pretty like a goldenrod. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, it's just like you just see like the sea of people.
All matchy. Mm-hmm. All matchy.
Yep.
All right. Let's get into more normal things. Anything else you wanted to share just in general from your week besides winning the race? Congrats again.
Actually, thank you. I did a trail run the day after. So I think it was like 9 miles, I think it was. So I actually met up with someone who I know through promoting Ragnar Trail Races that actually lives on the East Coast and was over here for other reasons. And so we connected and met up for a trail run. So that was fun. It wasn't a super easy, no, okay, it wasn't even super, it wasn't an easy trail run, but it was fun and, you know, beat up my legs a little bit, but it was nice to get that in. So did that the next day and then did a 14 mile long run the day after that. So I felt okay. My legs were a little bit tired, but felt okay with that. And then the day after that, like my legs were just really tired. So didn't run at all, but so pretty happy to have a 5K win. And then a 9 mile trail run, and then a 14 mile long run. So,
I think this is, I mean, outside of a race weekend, this sounds like it was your perfect running weekend, actually.
Okay, so I was just thinking that.
I mean, yeah, it kind of helped because you got that extra long run because you had the day off, right?
Right.
On the Monday.
Yeah, that's so why I was able to do a long run on Monday.
That's why there's 3 days.
Yeah.
But yeah, which it kind of sounds like happen. A perfect, you know, you had a race, you yep. won a race, you got some free shoes.
I know.
You got some
free Brooks shoes.
Some trail running up yep. in the North Bay, which mm-hmm. is where you did. And then you got your, you still got your long run in. So yeah. your training's not, yeah, it sounds like a perfect weekend for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. It pretty much was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I guess that's all I really have. I mean, talking about long runs is because we're, you know, training for Chicago. So mm-hmm. just getting closer and closer and closer. So I have to dial up my mileage here on my long run. So hopefully this weekend that will be longer than 14 miles.
Okay.
So yeah, that's all I got. So what about you? Anything else other than the race
I
that you
really
mentioned
have
already?
Nothing else to kind of add. Nothing else in my notes for myself here. Nothing special, nothing interesting. I know, surprising, I did not win any races this week.
No.
So maybe next week. Stay tuned for that. Yeah, nothing special with me going on. So.
We actually have to sign up for one, though, to win.
To win one. Yeah. Well, I did. I have spent a lot of time this past week looking for races to run, and I kind of wanted to do another half marathon before Chicago, and so I'm kind of looking for that last-minute race just to fit one in, and then unfortunately, sometimes maybe the cheapskate in me comes in, and I'm like, oh, you know, because I'm registering essentially last minute for the
right.
race. And I'm like,
which
oh.
we don't typically do for races.
Right. And I'm like,
yeah.
Do I want to spend that kind of money on a race that I'm basically just throwing on the schedule? And I think you actually found a half marathon, and I was like, all right, that'd be cool. And then I saw the price, and I was like, I don't know that I want to spend that much. And then it was one where I had to drive out the day before for packet pickup. You couldn't do race day. And I was like, well, that's going to just take up a lot of time and money and gas. And I was like, you know. I don't know. What's the point, I guess, at that point? So I was like, so not really adding any races probably before Chicago Marathon for me anyways. But I have been looking, keeping my eyes open. Something did find a nice 10K that I wanted to do over the holiday weekend, but I got to get a long run in. So I don't know that I want to race and do a long run back to back. So,
well, you could. It's the holiday weekend, so you could do a long run on Monday and it wouldn't be back to back. But then it'd still only be one day in between, which may not be yeah. the best anyways.
May not be the worst idea. So who knows? Maybe we'll come yeah. back and be like, I ran every day weekend.
There is a race that I keep looking at in September, but it's a trail race. Mm-hmm. And it might be at my, kind of like my upper limits of where I would be at that time. So
okay.
it's very intriguing. But then I keep thinking about, like, one, can I actually do it? And two, if I can, is it the smartest thing to do? I think it ends up being 3 weeks before Chicago. Mm-hmm. Which is probably not the smartest thing to do, but
it's also not the dumbest thing.
I don't think I'm
going
to have the speed going into Chicago that I hoped I would.
Mm-hmm.
So then the other part of me is like, well, if you're not going to have the speed, then you might as well just, should you just do
what you want to do?
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I have a couple more weeks to decide. So,
all right, let's move on to other things. Just mentioned some races from this past weekend, Leadville 100, Squamish 50, Ironman, Coeur d'Alene, Pikes Peak, and of course the Olympics wrapped up. We had one note here for old news from last week's episode where we talked about our Ragnar Trail Tahoe recap. The one thing we didn't mention was they did have several motivational signs out on the course, which was new for us at Ragnar Trails. Hadn't seen that before, right?
Not on trail race. No, okay. I'd seen it on road races, but I don't remember seeing it on a trail race.
And then they had some good signs. You actually made some notes on them. Don't forget to breathe was one sign. It's all downhill from here. Just kidding. There's a huge incline ahead.
And that was so true.
And it
that was on Red Loop, like right before the actual summit.
Yeah, and there was another sign, something about a hill, and somebody actually put some mental thought in where they were going to put the sign because it was like made sense with mm-hmm. where you were out on the course. There was, of course, a motivational sign that said motivational sign. Then there was another one that said, watch for bears. Just kidding. Sort of in parentheses
yeah.
at the end. So,
yeah. And there's another one that said, dig deep. And I think it was kind of like on right before an incline
yeah.
or something. And then like after that incline, there was going to be another one that said, dig deeper.
Right.
Yeah. So that was pretty funny.
Yeah. That's what I was saying about the good placement. It was kind of nice. I hadn't seen that on Ragnar Trails before, so it was kind of a nice little addition. And no signs relating to parades or anything like that, so which wouldn't make sense for a Ragnar Trail, but
yeah, would not
still
make
happy
sense.
Not to see
what
it.
The heck is your parade doing out here on the trail?
All right, newer stuff. Meditation.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
So not something that we talk about often, if at all, but something I've been more and more interested in. I think I might have talked some about it last year, you know, just like looking at the parallels between running, whether it's trail running or long runs, and meditation. And then I actually just had a chance recently to listen to, I want to call it an album because that's what it, I don't know what the correct term is, because it's still an album to me, you know, even though it's not an actual album.
It's not like a music album.
Yeah, exactly. But it's, you know, with guided meditation that is specific to runners. So it's actually really interesting. I haven't had the opportunity to listen to something like that before. And some of the guided meditations are meant to be listened to when you're not running, which that's not surprising. Mm-hmm. But there's actually a few that are meant to be listened to while you're out on specific runs. Okay. So, and it actually specifies, like, you know, like on a night run, or like on a, not night run, like during the day, but, you know, trail or that sort of thing. So I didn't actually try those out on runs just because, you know, I wasn't going to go out on a night run listening to guided meditation by myself, you know, so that's just for safety reasons. I wasn't going to do that, but, I found that really interesting. And there were some really interesting guided meditations to listen to when you're not running, that could potentially help you in, if not just, you know, finding like that, I don't know, inner peace, you know, during the day when you're not running, but then also something that you could draw on when you are running, even if you're not listening to the guided meditations while you are running. So I had the opportunity to listen to those and actually put up some information on that. It's called Running Deep, a collection of guided meditations for runners. And we have that review up on our page if anybody wants to take a look. Read what I wrote about it. And if you have any feedback on that, and there's also a link on how you can download that and listen to it. So
now, question, because you mentioned the night one, do you think you would have been distracted had you listened to the night one while running at night?
If I would have been distracted?
Yeah. Or would have, I guess, just from a safety standpoint?
Uh-huh. Well, I think distracted in the sense that I'm listening to something. Like, for example, like if I was going to go do a night run, I guess, okay, the only night runs I've done by myself have been Ragnar, right?
Right.
But when I do the night runs, I don't listen to music because I want to be aware of my surroundings. So I don't listen to anything during those times. So I would think that listening to anything, whether it's the guided meditation or music or an audiobook, I think would distract me in the sense that I might not be as aware of my surroundings.
Okay.
So this might be, for me personally, this might be something that I would try or listen to, but have somebody else run with me. Like if we both went out on a run, but I listened to this.
I was just curious if it would be,
I don't know if that answers your question.
Kind of. I guess I was just curious if it was more, not distracting, more, make you less alert than listening to music would at night.
I don't know.
And I'm probably asking that in a bad way too.
Yeah, no, I think I know what you're saying now. And I don't know, because in a way, sometimes you become more focused when listening to things like this. So I guess it depends on what you focus on.
Okay.
I don't know.
I was just curious.
Yeah. I don't know.
Food for thought.
Yeah.
Think about that during your next meditation.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm not supposed to think about that. It's defeating the purpose.
All right. Next up, RunGo app. Tell me more.
Yeah. So this is something that I came across. I'm not sure how long it's been around, but it is an app. You know, there's an app for that.
There's an app for everything.
For everything. So it basically consists of running routes uploaded by fellow runners that actually have turn-by-turn directions, or will give you turn-by-turn directions. So if you have the app on your phone and you decide that you're going to run a specific route that was uploaded, as you're running, it actually will tell you, like, you know, turn on whatever, you know, when it's the next street that's coming up and that sort of thing. So it's mostly, or the routes mostly cover the big cities right now, and doesn't cover the, you know, entire city, but it does have some routes like for Vancouver, Toronto, New York, San Francisco, Boston, Chicago, Seattle, London. So I think the plan is to just have more and more and more routes, uploaded for not just those cities, but then for the suburbs and that sort of thing too. So,
okay.
Just something that I had come across and hadn't really heard about. So obviously when I heard about it, you know, I looked at it and saw, you know, is there anything that I would be, you know, within my driving distance or something, you know, that I would be willing to go run, but there wasn't anything that interesting, even though San Francisco's not that far away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, there was a couple of really super short routes. And then there was, like, somebody uploaded, I think, the Nike women's marathon route.
Yeah. I was just looking at
that one. And there's a couple of other races through San Francisco. And not to say that I don't want to run in San Francisco, but we've mentioned before that we've done a few races in San Francisco, and the courses tend to be pretty similar.
Tend to overlap a lot.
Or then you also feel like, okay, well, I've kind of run the areas that I would want to run in San Francisco. So, but it'd be interesting to look at maybe for the big city near you, or even contribute, you know, some routes if you have some on that. So it'll be interesting to see how it progresses and develops.
Right. I mean, I think it's good for, I know when we travel to other cities, it's always off to find where to go for a run. And it seems like, I'm still yet, I mean, I'll have to try this one out, but it seems like there's no fantastic resource to kind of include every big city. And,
right.
You know, I don't know, it's so hard, you know, you look at a big city, you know, let's take London, for example, because we were there not too long ago and looking for places to run. And I don't know, it's really hard because, you know, you're just thinking a different hotel and a different area and where yeah. you're coming from, where you're going from. So it's kind of hard to find that perfect route if you're traveling to a city. Unless what you do is just kind of look for where's the majority of people running in this area and kind mm-hmm. of cobble something together for yourself, depending yeah. on your start point or your end point.
Well, that's kind of what we did when we did a run in London.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we just kind of like, okay, a lot of people are like running this area right here. Like maybe we should run here. So,
yeah, I think in the past when we've traveled, a lot of times what I end up like stumbling across a random blog post by some random person who, you know, they end up seeming to have a really good running route, you know,
yeah.
in whatever city that is. That tends to be where I find stuff because I know several companies have kind of tried to do something similar. I mean, you can always look up old stuff or Map My Run. And I think one time Solomon was doing something similar, mm-hmm. right, with
yeah.
an app. So lots of variations on that.
Yep.
Moving on to, what are we talking about? Coast to Coast?
Coast to Coast. Yeah, this is something that I mentioned.
And not Disney Coast to Coast.
No.
Okay. Just had to clarify. Run.
Yeah, good point. Mentioned last year, I think it was last year that we mentioned it. Yeah, so Mr. Ernest Andrus started running from San Diego on October 7th, 2013, and he was going to run across the U.S. And he was raising money, or he was running to raise money to return a World War II era ship in Indiana to Normandy, France, for the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landing. He was actually a medic on a similar ship during the war, so I've been following him along on Facebook. And he always, you know, posts what his anticipated runs are going to be. Usually runs maybe like usually about 3 days a week, and he'll post like where he's going to start, where he's going to end, if anybody wants to join him. And, pretty funny because he always just says, you know, like my running pace is basically your walking pace. So like, come walk with me. I'll run, you walk. So that's pretty cool. But he actually completed his run across the U.S. on, just a couple days ago, actually August 20th, 2016, one day after his birthday. So, there's a big fanfare, obviously, for, you know, big event like this, mm-hmm. big feat like this. And there was, I think, a marching band. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on. And I just thought it was really cool to mention. I didn't include, that's interesting, on the rundown here, I actually didn't include his age. And right now I can't remember the exact age, but he's either 93 or 94.
He's 93.
So, which is kind of, okay, thanks. Which is pretty important for this, like, piece here.
Yeah, it gives you a greater appreciation.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that was really cool. And then he actually posted, I want to read just a little bit of what he posted on the on his Facebook page a couple of days after he finished. He said, "Mission accomplished. Last Saturday, I reached the Atlantic on St. Simons Island, Georgia. Fanfare was enormous. Family and friends from all across the country were here for the finish. I don't have an accurate count. It looks like runners and greeters combined must have been more than 1,000. Whole string of escorts, a band playing, a flyover. A 3-year-old girl ran all the way. She holds the record for the youngest runner. And then his final results are 2,631.08 total miles in 999 hours, 32 minutes and 15 seconds. So his average pace, 2,247 miles, or average legs distance, 6.13 miles. Average miles per week, 18.4. And then actually, now that he's finished, he plans to drive his motorhome, which is what he was using, mm-hmm. You know, to... It got kind of complicated in terms of trying to figure out, because he was doing this by himself, you know, so it got complicated in terms of being able to move his motorhome like to the next mm-hmm. place. But anyways, so he plans to drive his motorhome to Alaska, where his stepdaughter lives, and he's going to drive the Alaska Highway.
And hopefully take some time off.
Yeah. I guess while he's driving. So I just thought that was really cool.
All right.
I just want to mention that.
Very, very cool. I do like the 999 hours.
Yeah.
That's
and
a
thank goodness
number.
He didn't like slow down and take an extra
28
minutes.
Minutes.
Yeah.
Could have been 1,000.
Right. Not that it really matters, but.
Alrighty. Let's move on. I guess let's officially kind of wrap up the Olympics from a running standpoint. A very good Olympics for the U.S. of A, just in general. Very good Olympics for distance running and for, I guess, Olympics, we're talking 800 meters and up. It's kind of the distance running for Olympic standards. U.S. actually got 7 medals. At 800 meters or more, and that's compared to, I guess, 4 years ago was just 2. So quite a bit better there. Do you want to just mention the men's 5,000 meter where Mo Farah was the victor there? Mm-hmm. And he got his double. He got his 5 and his 10 gold medals there. The 5 was kind of interesting because there was some disqualifications and then some non-disqualifications that kind of made it all a little bit hectic and crazy.
Yeah.
And confusing. And especially for the American, Chelimo, who originally was the silver medalist and then found out that he was disqualified because he stepped on the line, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, was it Bernardo Gatt that was in 6th?
Mm-hmm.
Got moved up to bronze.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, he had a medal, but Chelimo was out of a medal. And then I guess some stuff got reversed and Chelimo was back to being a silver medalist.
Right.
And Legat was back on the outside.
Yeah.
So all of this within an hour or two. So yeah, kind of crazy. But at least I think things got set a little more correct in the end. What else do we want to mention from the Olympics, the final week?
The men's marathon. Or are you not there yet?
Well, I'll just mention before that, even though we're going to talk about her later, Gwen Jorgensen was the triathlon winner. Got her gold medal after a big disappointment 4 years ago, mm-hmm. basically due to a flat tire. No tire issues this year. Kind of interesting little battle at the beginning of the run there, too. So that was a cool one. Yeah. On to kind of the main event, the final event, essentially, of the Olympics, the men's marathon. I guess let's not bury the weed. Eventual winner, Eliud Kipchoge, in time of 2:08:44, Kenyan. Fayisa Lalisa of Ethiopia finished second in 2:09:54. And the really cool part for the Americans, Galen Rupp gets on the podium, gets bronze medal with a 2:10:05. So obviously a huge, you know, on the women's side, we had, you know, 3 Americans in the top 10, but mm-hmm. nobody on the podium.
Right.
On the men's side, we actually get 2 in the top 10. But actually, Galen Rupp does get on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
So huge congrats for him.
Yep.
A very hard-fought race for him.
Jared Ward was 6th.
6th place.
Yeah.
Meb, the other American, finished 20-something, 30th-something.
Yeah, I think it was 30-something.
He had some major
stomach issues.
Stomach issues, just wasn't feeling well. Had to stop kind of a bunch of times. Meb actually had the bad luck of... He basically tripped and fell to the ground at about mile 26.1.
Yeah, or maybe then, even mile 26.18.
That's, I mean, he was basically right at the finish line, tripped and fell, did a couple push-ups just for fun, and then crossed the finish line. So, and you know, for Meb, he's always a fun guy. He's always so excited.
Mm-hmm.
You almost look at him, and even though he finished 20th or 30th, whatever it was, looking at him, it almost looks like, you know, he finished top 10 or something like that,
because
he just has such a great attitude about everything. But yeah, Galen Rupp, I mean, he was right there with the leaders for a really long time. Basically just stayed on Kipchoge's heels. I think he was pretty much aware that, you know, it was Kipchoge's day, and tried to stay with him for as long as possible. And that went into the 20s, but wasn't able to obviously hold on.
Right.
And got 3rd place. And I did see the hug between him and Alberto Salazar post-race, which always, which looked fun, big smiles, lots of emotion there. Galen Rupp's the type of guy that, I don't know, he's kind of an odd guy from just the outside. You know, obviously, I don't know the guy.
What? Certainly, you don't know the guy?
I don't know the guy. Yeah. Well, we used to hate, no, I'm just kidding. you know, sometimes he's like completely emotionless and then he gets emotional and then, but then he looks kind of awkward when he gets emotional. So I think because you're so used to him not being emotional.
That it just doesn't seem to suit him.
But, I'm sure he was excited with 3rd, and I know Alberto Salazar, like I said, he had a big old smile on his face and he was excited. And I mean, you know, I think we were joking on the last episode what we thought Galen Rupp would finish, and I said for sure top 10, right? I said podium, I think. No.
I can't remember now.
I said top 10.
Okay. I'm like, I don't remember that.
But going back to the trials, what I said, you know, if he wasn't ready for, you know, really great finishes in the marathon, I don't think Alberto Salazar would put him out there for that. So obviously ran great at the trials and 3rd place here. So the only thing I haven't seen in any articles or anything that I read is what's next for him.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see. Hopefully going forward it's a focus on the marathon, and then we can kind of see what he does in the next couple of years. Hopefully, you know, he takes a shot at Boston or New York or Chicago or something like that.
Something.
Or Berlin, maybe. Well, maybe not Berlin, that tends to be way too fast. So
maybe something else.
Maybe some on the U.S. would probably be better for him. But yeah, Jared Ward's sixth place was really good. And yeah, anything else we should say about the marathon?
The road is pretty wet.
Yeah.
Because I think it was actually, I can't remember if it was raining or just really wet at the beginning, but then it remained wet. So that probably had something to do with Meb's fall. But
yeah, and in the end, it probably wasn't as hot or humid. Maybe humid, but it certainly wasn't as hot as people had feared probably in the months leading up to the race.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that was good news for some and for others. I think even the commentators made a joke. They're like, oh, maybe spend all this time and money preparing for specific conditions. And then when they don't come true, you know.
Yeah.
You know, do you feel that that's a waste? And, you know, the answer would be no. But I guess the thought still does cross your mind to a certain degree.
Right. One thing I hadn't noticed in other major marathons that are like televised that we watch, mm-hmm. or like Olympic marathons, is that when Galen Rupp went to get his bottle, his specific bottle, that there was like a replacement hat for him. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if it was attached to the bottle or just handed to him at the same time. And I'd never seen that before. And even the commentators made some mention about that because he had tossed his first hat, you know, like right at like the aid station, mm-hmm. you know, the elite aid station. It's not an elite aid station. They all have their bottles there, right? But and then he had another hat, and they're like, wait, what happened to his hat? He tossed it. So then they go back and see it, and so I'd never seen that before, so I thought that was kind of interesting. And then I don't know how soon after, somebody created a Twitter account for
his hat,
so that was pretty funny. But yeah, I'd never seen that before. Like, I've seen obviously, like, you know, fluids or and like gels attached mm-hmm. to bottles and that sort of thing, but not like any sort of gear. So, I mean, could you attach shoes to it? Could you attach, I don't know, just different things? Like, could you attach, like, an antacid to it? I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Like, is that...
That's like nutrition.
I guess.
Goes in your stomach, same thing. I just don't see the huge benefit of changing your hat multiple times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe it's a dry hat, and, I mean, I don't know, you're going to be sweating through the thing in a minute anyway. So,
right.
Especially in those types of conditions. So, I don't really see the benefit in that. Mm-hmm. Although I will say that, you know, I run every single race with a hat on, and, you know, your hat after 26 miles is probably one of the nastiest things, you know, when you're sweating like crazy on a hot day.
Mm-hmm.
A fresh hat at that point would be nice, but during the middle of the race, I don't know. But
it's kind of weird. I'm not used to seeing him in a hat still, even though, like, saw him in the Olympic marathon trials.
You're used to seeing him on the track.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so it still kind of throws me off. So anyways, that was it.
All right, yeah. The last thing I was going to mention, kind of Olympics related, and I already said her name, Gwen Jorgensen, who won gold in Rio for the triathlon, is actually going to be making her marathon debut at the New York City Marathon in November, and she'll be joining others, including Molly Huddle and Kim Conway, who are both also doing their first marathon. Mm-hmm. So interesting seeing some new blood entering the marathon, mm-hmm. although I can't honestly say whether any of these people are looking to like make marathoning their full-time thing, or they're just kind of coming off the Olympics and it's a great time to go do a marathon.
Yeah.
I mean, New York kind of, what is that going to be, 3 months later? It's kind of seems like a good timing type of thing.
Yeah. Although I think I would think that none of them, especially Kim Conley or Molly Huddle, I would think that they wouldn't do a marathon at this point if they aren't at least considering having that be mm-hmm. their full-time serious gig.
Right.
Like, I don't think that they'd be training up for a distance like that if they're like, nah, I just kind of want to do a marathon. You know what I mean? Like, you know, being, I mean, again, I don't know them, you know, mm-hmm. but I think that they would want it, that they're at least somewhat seriously looking at, okay, let me see how I can do with this marathon thing. So not just randomly running a marathon.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see, you know, what they can do in New York and, you know, what their times are, and then kind of going from there and seeing what they want to do. Like I said about Galen Rupp, want to see what his future is. I know for Gwen Jorgensen, the triathlete, I'm sure when she gets to New York, she's going to be like, man, this is amazing. I get to just show up at the start line and run 26 miles. I don't have to swim beforehand. I don't have to go bike 100 miles beforehand. This is like awesome. So
she might not be warmed up enough.
That's a good point, actually. I wonder if that would be difficult.
I have no idea.
For somebody, and I would have no knowledge whatsoever, somebody who's kind of a full-time triathlete, kind of just doing the run part on a race day. I don't know.
Mm.
All right. Other news stories. Want to mention Pearl Izumi. They did make the announcement, I guess, this week that they are getting out of the running business. And if you say, I didn't even know Pearl Izumi was in the running business, then that's probably your answer on exactly why they're getting out of the running business. Mm-hmm. So they've actually been, Pearl Izumi is a cycling company. That's where their specialty is in their background. But I guess they've been doing shoes and apparel for runners for 13 years. But they've announced that they are no longer going to be doing that. So they'll finish things off basically at the end of the year with kind of what's in the pipeline and what's out now. And then they'll just be focusing on the bike, I guess, like a lot of triathletes. So yeah, Pearl Izumi, not somebody who made much waves in the world of running, getting out of it. Interestingly enough, on the opposite side of that, Under Armour kind of continues their hard push into running and serious running.
Yep.
You know, Under Armour in a lot of ways is, I think there were some stories recently, you know, kind of pushing to take on Nike in a lot of ways in the world of running. So, and then I know Reebok, who must be sitting in dead last in some ways, and running is definitely attempting to get into the running shoe business and kind of more focused on traditional hardcore runners, I guess is what I'll say. Other companies, North Face, with their North Face Endurance Championships and their North Face Endurance Challenge, they've made their announcement on some rules, and they're taking a pretty hard stance against doping in the sport of running. So they've made some changes for their North Face Endurance Challenge policy. Basically, anybody who's incurred a ban, who's currently under a ban, will not be allowed to race in the event. And probably the biggest statement is that if you've served a ban for doping in the past, and even if you're, you know, you serve your 2-year suspension or whatever it is that you get from whatever organization that delivers that, you will be ineligible for prize money at the North Face Endurance Championship. So that's kind of a very big and a very interesting way to keep their race hopefully clean. Because if you take out that financial incentive, and they actually have, by trail running standards, a pretty big payday. If you take that incentive away, that will keep some of those people away. You know, there's no reason to, if you're kind of one of these elite, but you've had that issue in the past with doping, if there's going to be no money for you at the finish line, you might skip that race and go to another race. So kudos to them for taking a very hardline stance.
Yep, and I'm totally okay with that stance on a personal level.
I'm fine with the no, essentially the no second chance. I mean, I guess they're not barring you from running the race. They're just making you ineligible still run for the event. Prize money.
Yeah.
So I actually commend them for being pretty aggressive in that stance. And I think North Face will probably be involved more in the future with kind of the quest to stop doping. I mean, coming just off the Olympics, I think the story actually the last couple of days was actually how bad the doping policies and standards were at this Olympics in Rio. So there's coming out lots of stories of they didn't have enough people, and some of the secure areas that were supposed to be secure weren't secure enough, and all kinds of issues. And so I know from the Olympics, I know there wasn't huge stories of people like caught doping at the Olympics or anything like that, but you might not see that with some of the standards they had.
Yeah.
One of the articles that we read, I think, kept mentioning volunteers being involved with some of this stuff, which my question to you was like, do they really mean
a huge number of volunteers?
Do they really mean volunteers?
Yeah.
And it just seems a little bit weird to have volunteers in any way participating in kind of the anti-doping programs at the Olympics.
Yeah.
I don't know. That just seems crazy to me in so many ways, I guess. I mean, obviously they're not, you know, they're not in the lab doing a test or anything.
Still,
it still seems really weird to
me. Yeah. They're still kind of, some of those volunteers are still part of the collection process. And
I don't know. I mean, I guess you have to have huge numbers of people to be able to do it, but that seemed like a really strange way to go. But what do I know about putting on the Olympics? So, yeah, kind of took a left turn there. But yeah, that was North Face and their race. And so hopefully we'll see some other races follow in the steps of North Face. I mean,
or at least just be upfront as to what their rules or standards are, even if they're not the same exact as North Face.
Yeah. And I think you said you're okay with it, and I'm okay with the policy. I think the only argument that I think anybody could ever make is like that argument that like, hey, you know, it's almost like that wrongly convicted argument type of thing. Like, I got in trouble with doping because my coach did this and blah, blah, blah.
And there was like a legitimate thing where that person did not do anything wrong on purpose.
Right. But
yeah, but
I mean, you're still responsible for everything that goes into your body. You know, exactly. That as an elite athlete. And yeah, you can maybe somebody will come with the argument like, hey, people make mistakes. But I think if in the world of sport, if they kind of make it, you know, it's a one and done policy.
Mm-hmm. People might think twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because the way it is now, you know, kind of the way anti-doping has been, it's, you know, you got that standard of a 2-year suspension is what a lot of sports and organizations use. And that's, you know, you'll take greater risks if you know, like, hey, if I cheat and it works out, awesome. If I get busted, hey, I just serve a 2-year suspension mm-hmm. and then I come back and, yeah. So kind of a one and done is fine. And then we actually had a whole discussion about, the whole topic of, you know, if you do dope in certain types of doping, even if you stop doping, there can be lasting effects physiologically with your body that gives you an advantage for years to come.
Right.
And so that's a really great argument for kind of the, once you've been, I'll say convicted, that's probably not the right term. Once you've been convicted, you're kind of ineligible forever.
Right.
Because there could be lasting.
Yeah, you can still participate in the event.
Right.
But you can't get prize money or win.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Before we wrap it up, we do want to wish Kimberly good luck at the Santa Rosa Marathon,
mm-hmm.
Which is this coming weekend.
Yeah.
Had to check the calendar.
Yep.
We won't be
just
there
a couple
this year.
Days away.
And hopefully weather will cooperate. Let's wrap it up with some feedback.
Message received.
So we heard from Rich, who had a personalized ad pop-up on a webpage. He said that it actually said if you stay at a Westin hotel, they could send running gear up to your room, give you a map of local runs, stuff like that. And then he said also kind of browsing around after that, he came across something about run concierges. I have a really tough time saying that word, but basically a run concierge. So somebody who will take care of your running needs. He said he has to take a look into that more, but thought that we might be interested. That's something that we've kind of come across before too, maybe even a couple years back at certain hotel chains. I can't remember which ones that will help provide, even if they don't have a run concierge, they might have running gear for you, like if mm-hmm. you didn't bring it with you, like they have shoes and they say they have like workout gear and that sort of thing if you want it. But I don't think I'd gotten into anything any hotel that I've stayed at that was more formal than that. Although there was a position opening for, do you remember what that was, where there was?
So the Westin actually did.
Oh, it was. Oh, okay. Never mind.
A couple of years ago, they actually did kind of a national search for a national runner concierge, and they were kind of doing this little focus thing on, their run concierge, and I think they partnered with R&R races.
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
At the hotel. So they did end up hiring somebody and they did have a run concierge, which I think is actually a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I wish more hotels would cater to runners. I know that when I'm searching for a hotel for a race, if there was a hotel that had, you know, a great run concierge or rate program or great perks for runners, or just somebody there that kind of understands us, understands our needs and our concerns.
Yeah.
I would be more partial to that hotel.
Mm-hmm.
The flip side, I think, is hotels realize that on race weekends in town, they're basically going to sell out anyways. And so I don't know that
they don't necessarily have to cater to the runners, right?
Right. Yeah. But if I'm going, you know, I would pick that hotel first on my non-running.
Mm-hmm. Right. Weekends, right. Yep.
If there was a hotel that really, took care of you. Because I know one time we did stay, and I won't mention the hotel, but we were there for a race and there was lots of runners there and they actually had a table out and, you know, they attempted to kind of take care of runners for the weekend, but it mm-hmm. was obviously like non-runners who knew nothing about runners, kind of trying to help runners and answer questions. And it was like, oh, you know, you guys got an A for effort, but they just missed in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed a little odd. So, I'd love to see more hotels do it, but they need to do it in a more authentic way with maybe, I mean, come on, it's a hotel. There's got to be some employees there who are runners that know what's going on or,
yeah.
you know, that type of stuff. So that was a long-winded answer to that one. But it was a good topic, though, actually. Something to be discussed. And if you know of any hotel chains or hotels specifically around big races that do a great job with their runners, let us know, because I would definitely like to stay at those hotels.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
sure.
A lot of hotels do the thing where, you know, oh, we're going to do our breakfast early and we're going to have snacks mm-hmm. out. And
and that's always appreciated, you know, when it's like bagels and bananas and that sort of thing. I appreciate that. I appreciate that more than not having any of that there.
I do too.
I don't count on it though.
But it is funny because
oftentimes you don't even know until when you check in that they're going to have something the next day. So
well, that's the one thing too, is you can never count on it because some hotels say they will and then they don't and then they never, sometimes they
miss
on
time. Or they
have
weird stuff that you wouldn't eat before a race or before a marathon.
I've seen oddball stuff for the breakfast.
Yeah.
I've been to hotels where they say, yeah, we're doing our runner's breakfast in the morning. And literally what they have is, it's like a Costco pack of water and then some bananas in a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, good luck. It's like, hey, thanks for the awesome spread, you know? And then I've seen other ones that put just a ton of stuff out and, you know, full size Gatorade bottles.
And like, to go containers, yeah, where you can like put your, yeah, I can't remember where that was, but you could actually had like a little to go container where you can put your bagel and stuff like that and take it with you so you can eat on the way.
Yeah. So that even got longer winded.
Yeah, that did get longer winded. Okay. Let's reel it back here to the feedback. Okay. So in regards to something we talked about a couple of episodes ago, there was an article we mentioned about, the $1,600 marathon. Mm. So, in regards to that, we actually got a little bit of feedback with that. So first from Nir, who said he thoroughly enjoyed how we read through her list of expenses because the list was interesting and we did a great job of voicing our opinions on it. So I changed some of that wording around to make it a little bit more friendly. But basically, he thought we did a good job dissecting that article and talking about it. So, yeah.
And I was afraid I was too negative or too harsh on it. So
yeah. And then we also heard from Max in regards to the article. He said the article obviously padded the budget to make it sound expensive. He would like to know what it costs in real dollars and direct cost to become a titanium level marathon maniac, which is 52 marathons or more within 365 days or 30 marathons in 30 different US states, countries, or Canadian provinces, any combination within 365 days or 20 countries within 365 days. So he said he's working on it now and he'll let us know when he's finished in April 2017. His low estimate is 30,000. But he thinks it's probably more.
Which is crazy.
I know.
So good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, we totally want to hear about it, Max.
I mean, if you do the short math in your head, I mean, you just take the reg fees from 52 marathons. Let's just call it $100 on average. I'm sure some will be a little bit cheaper, some will be more.
Right.
I mean, that's $5,000.
Just from registration
fees. Just from reg fee.
Right.
And that's not counting any of the travel or hotel or anything related to that or... trying to remember some of the weird stuff. That
what
was
about
that
the post-race?
Yeah, the post-race
festivity
beer.
Or something. Like, I can't remember what it was.
The post-race beer from 52 marathons. I mean, mm-hmm. That's got to be at least a grand or two. Right
and all
there,
that
right?
extra laundry you're going to have to do. Right. I think that was one of the things too, right? Exactly. But no, but in all seriousness, really want to hear how this goes for you, Max. So yes. Let us know.
Yeah.
Heard from Beth, who found a quarter on her run. So she wants to know if that makes her a professional runner.
Yes.
Of course it does.
Yeah,
found a quarter.
I mean, that's cash.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the best kind. Also heard from Abel, who he said on one of his long runs, he actually came across a pair of, speaking of Under Armour, mm-hmm. a pair of Under Armour sandals on the sidewalk. He wants to know if this makes him a sponsored runner. What do you think about that?
Well, as I said, Under Armour getting aggressive with their marketing, just leaving random items
in
for
the
runners
path of runners.
Find. No, it doesn't work.
That's funny. So I was thinking, if they're brand new sandals, yep, you have a sponsor.
If they're used.
Then you don't.
Like really used.
Yeah, then you don't. Then you got to hand me down. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, if they're really used, then that's just a throwaway that you came across.
Exactly. Run, so. Yeah. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy them, but maybe just wash thoroughly beforehand. So Abel actually also sent us some really great and interesting questions that we're not going to talk about today because we're going to save them and kind of sprinkle them throughout future episodes. So, but we definitely will cover those.
Yeah, because it was some really good questions that mm-hmm. actually really made my night when we got it.
Yeah.
Gave me a good laugh and some thinking to do. So,
yep.
Yeah, thanks.
So we'll talk about those.
Thanks
in the
for the source material for our episodes.
Exactly. Then I heard from Brad, who's letting us know that his company's well-being program reimburses $25 for a 5K, up to $100 per year, and gives a bonus of $50 if you place in the top 10 in your age group. So he was actually reimbursed for his $25 entry fee and got the $50 bonus for finishing first in his age group. So he wants to know if that counts for a professional runner status. Absolutely.
I think absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, you got your race fee paid for and you got a bonus for like basically a performance bonus for placing first in your age group.
I mean, basically in the Embrace Running Professional Runner Program, that's such a big payday that you're basically one of our elites at this point.
Yes.
I mean, $50 cash.
There's only a couple of you in the elite section, but he's one of them.
We're just creating that literally just now.
Right now. And Brad's in it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Actually, you know, I've heard of lots of companies and like I think I mentioned like wellness programs that will reimburse you for races, mm-hmm. which I think is awesome. I can't say that I remember one that kind of put a bounty on placing in your age group.
Yeah.
Which, that's kind of cool.
That is, I mean, really,
that's like
cool,
an incentive to actually run hard.
And I like the fact that it's top 10 in your age group, which is different than usually what races will award.
Like top three.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like perfect for that person like who's like, I always finish fourth. I never get a medal.
Exactly.
But we should get some cash. And stuff. But yeah, I wish more workplaces would, kind of relating to the top of the episode, kind of get involved with putting on races. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a big company, obviously small companies can't do that. But yeah, being able to reimburse people for races, I think is a fantastic idea in so many ways.
Yeah,
so.
And I think it doesn't even have to be running races. You know, it could be like, you know, rides or like triathlons. I mean, you know, just different things like that, you know, like century rides or whatever it may be, you know, or Grand Fondos. Like, that would be pretty cool to get reimbursed for that sort of thing.
Event, actually.
Yep.
Nah, forget that. Let's stick to running. I like running. You know. Okay. I'm greedy. let's support my sport.
Yeah.
Here. Let's not branch out too much.
Right. See, so if that person had a well-being program, then her cost would have been less than $16,000 because she could have gotten, I mean, $1,600 because she could have gotten reimbursed for the couple 5Ks that she ran.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyways.
Alrighty. Is that the end of the feedback?
That is it.
And that brings us to the end of the show. So that's going to wrap it up for today. I think next week we'll try to get into a topic a little more in-depth, less news with the Olympics now past us. I know I'm looking forward to having a little bit more free time now that the Olympics is gone. Because it does suck up a little bit of time.
Yeah, it does.
Not that I was forced to.
Even if you're not like purposely like, you know, trying to watch, it just kind of does. It's distracting.
Which is good sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so that's going to do it for this week.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.